We're on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's just review a little bit on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah made the following distinction in the case of someone who finds the Shtar Chov. If the Shtar Chov has Achrayis written in it, which means that this Shtar engenders Shibudim and allows the Malva, if need be, to collect from the Lekuchos, then we don't return the Shtar. And the reason for that is because we're afraid that this shtar is not a valid shtar, and in the hands of the malva, he may use it against the lekuchos will be mafsid shalo kedin. If, on the other hand, there's no achrayus, says Rabbi Meir, then we can return the shtar. The Gemara was bothered by this. First of all, even if there's no achrayus in the shtar, how can you return the shtar to the malva? He'll collect from the lova, from Bnei Chori. Hello, what? You're going to tell me that the lov is moda, that he's chayef, he did not pay back the chov? If that be the case, then even if the shtar has achrayus in it, why not return it to the malva? There's no loss to the lekuchos, because even the lov himself admits that the chov, the debt, is outstanding. And the Gemara answers that even in the case where the chayef is moda, we still have to, something to worry about in terms of lekuchos. It might be a shtar mukdom. And that means that the shtar was written in Nisan, but the halva didn't take place for 6 months until Tishrei. And any lekuchos in that interim period from Nisan lekucha until Tishrei will serve to lose shelo kedin. The Gemara says, well, if you're worried about such a situation, why not worry in every case of every single shtar? And the answer is that every shtar has a certain chazok of kashrus. We assume it was written and given at the same time. But here, since the shtar was lost and it was found, therefore it has a reisa in it. It doesn't have a kashrus. We're not sure. And we could raise all sorts of possible chashoshas regarding this shtar. The Gemara says, if that be the case, why do we bichlal allow this situation to occur? Why do we allow Eidim to sign a shtar, give it to the lov, even though they did not witness the halva itself? Why not always worry about this possibility that the shtar is a shtar mukdom, and the actual halva took place months later, and you'll be govel lekucho shelo kedin? And here's where we got to Rav Asi, on the top of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and Rav Asi spoke about Shtari Hakna. Now, exactly what the case of Shtari Hakna is a machlokas between the Rush and other Rishonim. The Rush understands that the only time the Edom could write a Shtar on behalf of the Lova, give it to the Lova, even though they didn't see the Matan Mos, is when there's a shibud written in the shtar. And others understand that there has to be a separate kinyan. It's not just that you write the shibud in the shtar, but you need a separate kinyan, a hakna, and that is a kinyan sudar. That's what the Ran seems to understand. And that's Meshabi, the Nichse Alova, from the time of the writing of the shtar, because it was a separate shtar, a separate kinyan suda that was executed, in which the lover was makne to the malva a shibud from the time of the writing of the shtar. It was according to the Rosh, this shtar will somehow, since it has a shibud in it, will somehow engender a kinyan shibud by virtue of the shtar itself. And the lekuchos will hear about it, and they'll know that when they buy this karka from the lova, they're taking a risk. And that is all based on the fact that the lova was meshabit himself lepiron, and he was meshabit his nechasim, but it's not a separate additional kinyan. Anyway, there's a concept here that we have to work with and operate with in the context of the sugya. That's called Shtari Hakna. And what's unique about Shtari Hakna? Daha Shibed Nafshe. At the time of the writing of the Shtar, the Lov was Meshabed his Nechasim for the Piron of the Chov, and all his karkos now are mishubados to the Malve for the payment of the Chov, even though the actual Chov was given later on at a later period of time. There's no psul there from this shtar of shtar muktam, and l'chatchili could write such a shtar on behalf of the love without the malva. That's called shtarei hakna. There's another category, another type of shtar, which is called shtarei halva stam. That's a regular classical shtar halva. The lover was not mishabed himself and his nechasim at the time of the ksiv, and that we do not write on behalf of the Lov, if the Malva is not around. We're always going to be afraid that the actual Halva took place months down the line, and the Malva, therefore, will collect from Lekucho Shalok Kedin. The Gemara asks Akash on Ravasi, Ihochi, if it's true that in the case of Shtari Halva, a Stam Shtar Halva, it's not a Shtar Hakno, but a Shtar Halva, we're afraid that the Halva didn't take place on the very day written in the shtar, but it took months later, is Masnisan Diktoni, our Mishnah that says im yesh ben achrayus nechosim lo yachzir. If the shtar has achrayus written in it, then the finder cannot return the shtar to the malve. V'yokimna, we said that kishachayev mode, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the lover was mode that he didn't pay back the chov, and you're worried umishum shema kosav lulvos benisa v'lalova tishrei v'yasi l'mitraf l'kuchas lo kedin. Your fear is that this was a shtar muktam, the halva took place months down the line, returning the shtar to the malva is not a good idea, he'll be gover from l'kuchas lo kedin, is a milo yachzir. Why not? If yishtar al kna, if it would be a case of shtari hakna, which means that at the time of the writing of the shtar, the lov, was mishabed all his nechasim for the gvias hachov to the malve, so there's no reason in the world to hesitate to be inhibited and not return the shtar to the malve, because the malve will collect from the karkos of the lova kiddin. As we said before, the lova was mishabed himself with a separate kinyan from the time of the ksivas hashtar. And if the shtar doesn't have shibudim written in it, so there's no kinyan here, is lekel meichesh, there's nothing to worry about. You've just established that we will not allow the edim to write a shtar on behalf of the lova and sign the shtar. If the malva is not around, the edim have to see the matan mos, the giving, the transfer of the chov, the matan mos of the chov to the lova. That's what they're testifying about. And if that be the case, mimonavshach, whether we're talking about shtari akna or shtari delo akna, there is a shibud from the time that's written in the shtar. If it's a shtari akna, then the kinyan itself effectuated the shibud from the time of the ksiva. And if there's no hakna, and if there was, and if it's a shtar stam, it's not a shtar hakna, then you just establish that according to Ravasi, the Edom will not write such a shtar and date it unless they actually saw it and they witnessed the giving of the mos. So therefore, the lekuchos have nothing to worry about over here. There's no exposure or vulnerability of the lekuchos here to some sort of an invalid shtar. And again, keep in mind, we're talking about a case where the lov himself was moda, because if the lov wasn't moda, then for sure we're not going to return the shtar. In any event, you're telling me that if there's a chrayis in the shtar, then we won't return the shtar. We must be talking about kishachai of moda, the lov is moda, that there was no repayment to the chov. What are you worried about here? Amolecha Ravasi, Ravasi is going to say that Afal gav de shtari de lav hakna, ki leka malva bade lokas vinun. For sure, the edim should not be allowed to write and sign such a shtar and give it over to the lov unless they saw them at most, because we're talking about a stam shtar, a shtar de lav hakna. But nevertheless, our Mishnah Masnisa is talking about a different case, and that is that the shtar was lost. The malva is not holding on to the shtar. And Kaven the Nafal, once the shtar falls, Israel, we have a reisa on the kashrus of the shtar. We have worries and concerns about whether this shtar is a valid shtar, whether the edus hashtar, kinechkar edus of a bezdin, is powerful enough and comprehensive enough to testify in any single possible chash that you might raise against the kashrus of the shtar. Chayshin and Dilma, Ikri v'kosuv. Maybe it happened that the edim, let's say they weren't such great scholars, they didn't know the law, and they signed the shtar, gave it over to the lover, despite the fact that they did not see the matan mos, the malva wasn't around. And again, the zman now that's written in the shtar is Nisan, and in fact, the alva didn't take place till 6 months down the line in Tishrei. And now again, you're exposing the lekuchas to a collection shelo kedin. And this, my friends, really reflects the yesod of Reb Chaim that I heard many times from my Rebbe, that Reb Chaim used to say that you need tfisas bala shtar, that what activates the kashrus of the shtar and the edus of the shtar, which is machshir itself against any possible claim that the shtar is posel, any possible suffix that you'll be matil on the shtar, on the kashrus of the shtar, it's the tfisas bala shtar. The shtar speaks, kaviyochel, in inverted commas, on behalf of he who grabs the shtar, is holding on to the shtar. Here we find the shtar in Rishus HaRabim, and in such a case, we can raise questions and doubts about the kashrus of the shtar, and the shtar cannot absolutely convince us to be machshir itself. Here we're afraid that the shtar was written in Nisan, the Matan Mos took place in Tishrei, and there'll be gvia insofar as the shtar is yesh bach reis nechosim, there'll be gvir from the lekucha shalo kedin, and that's something we have to avoid. Now, Rashi Shita is that in the case of a shtar stam, and it's not a shtar hakna, we don't write such a shtar until the Edom actually see and witness the mesiras hamos, the matan mos, from the malva to the lova. And that's what we've been presenting until now, the sugya aliva de Rashi. The Rif and the Rambam, however, have a different shita. The Rambam writes in Perkov Gimel Milchas Malvolova that the Eidim must see the Mesiras Hashtar from the hands of the Lova into the hands of the Malva. And only in such a case do we remove any chashash on the shtar that is the shtar muktam was written in Nisan and there was no halva until Tishrei. So whereas Rashi requires not just the mesiras hashtar, but Rashi requires the matan mos, meaning that the edim testify and witness the matan mos, the Rambam and the Rif say you don't need that the edim testify and see and witness the matan mos. It's enough that they see the mesiras hashtar. Once they see the mesiras hashtar and they know that the malva is holding on to the shtar, that removes all the chashoshos, because now the malva becomes what we call tfisas bala shtar, and based on that we can expand the scope of the testimony of the shtar to include the fact that the mos and the shibudim were chal on the very day written in the shtar. Now, Abaye comes along, and he wants to interpret the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir in a different sort of a way. He wants to offer an alternative answer to the question of why we can write a shtar on behalf of the lova, even if the malva is not there. Why aren't we choshesh that the shtar might be a shtar muktam? And as we'll soon see, in the context of Abaye, who's going to guarantee us that we don't have to worry about the shtar being a shtar muktam, we're going to again have to ask the question and how to interpret Rabbi Meir, why is it that if the shtar has achrayus, we're worried about gvia milakucha shalo kedin, we don't return the shtar to the malva, and again, we're talking about a case that the lov is moda. This is no problem of b'nei chori, there should be no problem of mishubadim and lakuchos. That's what we're going to have to see. Anyway, what's the principle of Abaye? And what underlies the Mishnah in Bava Basra that we've been discussing, that the Edim can sign a shtar milva without the malva being there? Abaye Omar Edo b'chasumav zochin lo. And this sounds like a separate takana that Chachamim were mesaken, that the Edim, which the Lova brings to attach their signatures to the Shtar, and to make the Shtar into a Shtar Halva, they themselves are commissioned by the Lova to be Zoche in Shibudim on behalf of the Malva. It's a kind of Zoche in the Odom Shlo Befonov to grant the Malva through the Shtar Halva Kinyonim, I should call them Shibudim, in the karkos of the Lova, to guarantee the Malva the security that if the Lova defaults on the Chov, he has wherewithal, he has the security to collect from the Lekuchos. And Rashi writes, Edov b'chasumav zochen lo, miyom shechasmu zochen lo ashibud afilu lo hilva mos hatishrei. In other words, the Edom is signing on the Shtar in Nisan. The actual Alva is going to be taking place in Tishrei. And the reason why the Shibud and the ability of the Malva to collect for Lekuchas is chal as early as Nisan, even though the Alva only took place 6 months later in Tishrei, is because the Edom, when they signed this Shtar, they, to use Rashi's language, Ha'edim Chos Ma'olila L'maisa Shenasa B'zman Acher Ki'ilu Nasa Bisman Akosav Ishtar. It's as if the Halva took place on the date written in the Shtar. In other words, as far as Shibunim is concerned, the Lova is Makna Shibunim to the Malvin is Karkos from the time written in the Shtar. And that operates through the mechanics of Edov Bechasumov Zochenlo. That's Rashi. The Ramban understands that it could very well be that there was never, and there never will be a halva. The Shibud is chal, and the Gvias HaMalva from Lekuchas is kidin, it's valid. Why? Because with the Ksivas HaShtar and its transfer from the hands of the Lova to the Malva, it's as if the Lova made a separate kinyan on his karkos for the Malva. A person can write a shtar and be mischayev himself to pay a certain amount of money to the person to whom he hands over the shtar, and that chov exists by virtue of the handing of the shtar from the lova to the malva. When I say the lova to the malva, in fact, it's not really a lova to a malva in the classical sense, because there was never alva at all. But the shibud and the ability, legally, the legal financial rights of the malva to collect from the lova, again, I use these words, lova and malva, loosely, as borrowed terms, is validated by the very writing of the shtar, and the mesiras hashtar, it's a new kinyan. That's how far the Ramban is going to go in explaining Abai's Eid of a Chasum of Zochenlo, even if there never was Alva down the line. Now, it's a little bit strange because we do have a Mishnah in Shvius that says Shtari Chov HaMukdomim Psulim. So the concept of a Shtar Mukdom as a problematic Shtar is codified by the Mishnah itself. How can Abai say Eid of a Chasum of Zochenlo? Then there is no psul of shtar mukta. But the answer is, as Rashi says here, Divrei Maskal Hani, there is a psul of muktam, even according to Abaye, in a case where the shtar was written on one day, and that day was written in the shtar, but it wasn't signed until a different day, a later day. So it means there was a hakdama of the ksiva with the zman of the shtar before the chasimas hashtar. And that discrepancy between the Yom Ksiva and the Yom Chasima, that creates a psul of Shtar Muktam, because Edom B'chasum of Zochlo means just that the Shibud is Chal with the Chasima Sashtar, not with the Ksiva Sashtar. Or you could imagine a different scenario. Let's say the Shtar was written and signed on one day, but the Shtar itself had an earlier date on it, a Shtar Muktam, earlier than the day of the Ksiva and the Chasima. That's a little bit more rare of a case, but that too would come under the psul of Shtari Chov HaMukdomim. But again, barring those, shall I say, exceptional cases that that break the general rules. As a general rule, every shtar milveh is eidah b'chasum of zachalon. There's no fear, there's no worry that it's a shtar muktam that allows the malveh to collect 6 months earlier than he really has from the lekucha, 6 months earlier than he really has justified rights to do so. And that's not true, because who cares when the halfa actually took place? If Eidav Chasum of Zochenlo, at the time of the Chasimus Eidim, there's a Chalos Shibud in the Karkos. And Abai adds, Afilu Shtari Delav Akna, even if there's no Hakna written in the Shtar, nevertheless all Shtaros have a Shibud that is generated immediately with the ksiva and the chsimus ashtar. And therefore it's actually the malvis within his legal rights to collect karkos that was sold immediately following the zman that's written in the shtar. Now again, we're going to have to come back and figure out how Abaye is going to understand our Mishnah, since according to Abaye, there's no problem no chashash of a lova writing a shtar and the halva didn't take place for 6 months. That's not an issue as far as the lekuchas is concerned. So what are we worried about? We'll come to that in just a few minutes. But first, the Gemara takes a little bit of a detour and wants to know what bothered Abaye about Ravasi's pshat, mishum de kashale, what was a little bit, shall we say, difficult in the mind of Abaye as far as Ravasi's interpretation. Again, Ravasi says that Mishnah is talking about a stam shtar, a shtar she'eno shtar haknoa. And even though ein kosvin shtar belina sinus mos, nevertheless you cannot return the shtar to the malva because you're afraid that maybe this fluky case happened and the Eidim mistakenly in a shtar stam, in a shtar she'eno hakna, they wrote and signed the shtar on that date in Nisan and Alva didn't take place until Tishrei. And again, we're operating in Ravasi's frame of reference without the principle of Eidav Chasum of Zochenlo. Is came in the Amrit Bishtori de Lav Haknoa, Ki Leisa Lamalva Bahadei Lo Kasvina. Since we obviously instruct the Eidim not to write a shtar, again, if it's a shtar de Lav Haknoa, without the Malva being there, so that the Eidim have to witness the actual Matan Mos, or as the Rama would have it, the Mesiris Hashtar Lamalva. So why are you worried, Leka Lemechash, the Ikre Vekosov, that this fluky situation happened, the Eidim were, shall we say, ignoramuses, and they violated the law, and they undermined the mandate that they should require the presence of the Malva when they write the Shtar, that's something that we shouldn't be choshish for within the framework of Ravasi, according to Abai's logic, because every Shtar, a Stam Shtar, has to and requires the presence of the malva. And if the malva is not there, the shtar should not be written. And therefore, Abaye is of the opinion that even a stam shtar can be written without the malva's presence. Now, if our mission is talking about a stam shtar, is then we cannot return the shtar to the malva because there's a chashash that... Let me formulate this a little bit clearer. Why is Abaye objecting to Ravasi? Because in the case, our Mishnah is talking about not returning the shtar to the malva in a case of a shtar sheyesh bo achrayis, a shtar akno, as Ravasi has it, but in a stam shtar, then we could return the shtar to the malva. Abaye is not happy with the assumption of Rav Asi that since in the Stam Shtar, Shein Bo Aknoa, the Eidim are not allowed to write the Shtar on behalf of the Lova without the Malva's presence, because if there's a Chrayis in the Shtar, and the Lova is now going to fork over or the Lekuchos are going to be forced to fork over the karkos to the Malva in collection, when maybe, according to Ravasi, maybe the Shtar, since it fell, etc., etc., was written in Nisan, and the Matmos was in Tishrei. How could it be that we have such a chash, says Abai, if the Edom are not allowed to do that? And therefore, Abai would rather assume that even in the case of Stam Shtaros, where there was no separate Haknah for the Shibudim, the Edom can write the Shtar on behalf of the Lova, even if the Malva is not there. And that's going to be through the mechanics of Edom HaChasum of Zochilo. So now the Gemara is going to ask the question that we've been waiting for. Elohadisnan Motza Gitei Noshim Vishachurei Vodim Daitaki. Okay, you know what? We'll skip this Gemara for just a minute, because I'm eager to see how Abai is going to interpret our Mishnah, and then we'll come back. Is Ela Masdisin Diktoni Motza Shtari Chov Im Yeshre Machrayus Nechosim Lo Yachsev Ukim Nikshechayv Modeh. The Mishnah says in the name of Rabbeinu that we don't return a shtar sheish b'achrayus, even though the Mishnah is talking about a case where the lova is modeh. And what are you going to tell me? Mishum shema kosav luvos benison v'lo lova ad tishrei. I mean, that whole chash that will be gover l'kuch shol kedin bishlem ravasi, it only makes sense according to Rashi the Omar b'shtari aknaisa Mukile Bishtari Delava Knaisa. According to Rav Asi, who says that in the case of Shtari Delava Knaisa, where the Shibud is not Chal until the Zman of the Alva, there was no separate Kinyan done to be Makne, the Shibud, to be Makne, the Kinyan and the Karka to the Malva, is then if it's a Shtar Delava Knaisa, we cannot return the Shtar to the Malva, because we're afraid that it'll be Govish Lo Kedin, Ukedah Moron, because once the Shtar had fallen, we now have a race on the Shtar. We assume that maybe, in fact, the Edom did what they shouldn't have done, and they signed this Shtar, gave it to the Lova on an earlier date, and there was no separate Kinyan made from the Lova. Abaye Diomar, Edom Achsum of Zochlo, Michael and Meimar. According to Abaye, what's the problem? After all, according to Abaye, the halach of Kosvin Shtar Lovaf Bishain Malfi Imo is an absolute halacha, which knows no exceptions. And we're not choshesh that the Shtar was written in Nisan and Alva didn't take place till Tishrei, because who cares when Alva takes place, because Edev HaChasum of Zochinlo. In every Shtar, there's a chalos shibud from the Zman of the signature of the Edev. So why does the Mishnah say that we cannot return the shtar to the malva, and you're worried about the possibility of collecting from lekucha shelo kedin, even if the alva took place 6 months later? It wouldn't make a difference at all. The malva still could collect karkos from the zman akosim, because the edim was zocha on behalf of the malva in the shibut. Again, the Gemara Lechora could have suggested at this point that since the shtar fell, maybe we should be choshesh that the shtar was never actually handed over to the malva, and there was never a chalos hashibud. But the very fact that the lov is mode, that the shtar was written, and not only that, the shtar was given over to the malva, is that itself removes that chashash. What's the reason for the Mishnah? And here we get to the sugya of chayshina lekinunya. And this means that after the lova paid back the malva, and the shibud and the shtar is batel, the malva and the lova decided to collude, to have a cartel agreement together, and the lova will be mode that the chov is still outstanding, and that the shtar is a valid shtar, the malva will be able to collect from the lekuchos, and they'll split the goods. And therefore, in a shtar that has achrayus written in it, we cannot return the shtar when we find it to the malva, because we're afraid of kinunya. If the shtar doesn't have achrayus in it, then according to Rabbi Meir, there's no problem in returning the shtar to the malva because the lov is moda to the chov. And if the shtar is no achrayis, there's no possibility of using the shtar to collect from lekuchos. And as far as the bnei chori is concerned, we have the odas halova. The rabbanon, the chachomim, on the other hand, say that even if there was no achrayis in the shtar, we have aloch of achrayis to sofer, and the shtar always, without exception, has the power of collection from lekuchos. And we have to be worried now about kinunya between the malva and the lova. And even though the lova paid up the chov, the malva is illegally using this shtar to collect from the lekuchos shelo kedin. Now let's just go back to the piece that I was eager to skip because I wanted to get ahead of myself a little bit. The Mishnah later on in Daf Yud Ches says the following: Motza gitei noshim v'shechurei avadim. If a person finds a get isha, and now he has to determine whether to return it to the baal or to the isha, or a shtar shichur of an eved kenadi, obviously. Okay, those cases are not so relevant to us now. But let's take the cases of shtari mamon. And so the first case on the list is what's called a daitiki, which is a tzavos shchimira. The shchimira on his deathbed gives his last will and testament as to how to divvy up his properties, his possessions, and this is written and recorded by Edim in a daitiki. So a person finds a daitiki, and although there was a tzavah shchiv mira, that was only on the assumption that he would die. There's a possibility that he won't die. Or he finds a shtar matana, or he finds a shovar, which is a receipt form that testifies to the fact that the chov, the debt, was repaid, is a reza lo yachzir. He's not permitted to return the shtar. Again, we're talking about daitiki, we're talking about a shtar matanim, we're talking about shovrim. It has nothing to do with gittin and shtar shichur of an eved. There's a separate halach of nesina. And there's no din of zochin liodam shalom fun of as far as nesina is concerned. But with regard to these other shtaros, the shtari mamon, here we have to think, what is the Mishnah saying about these shtaros? It says, Areza lo yachzir, we cannot return the shtar to the one who wrote the shtar. And what's the reason for that? Shemek suvim hayu v'nimlach aleim shalolitnam. Even though the shtar was written by the mischayev, whether it be the love or the malve in the case of a shtar piron, a shovar, in the case of a nosein matana, or in the case of the shchiv mira, in all these cases, the edim were authorized and mandated by the mischayev to write the shtar. But maybe the mischayev had a change in heart, and he made a decision, he rescinded his original das, and decided, nimlach aleihem, he doesn't want to give them. He doesn't want to deliver these shtaros. So how can we return the shtar to the person who's going to collect from the mischayev? Maybe the mischayev decided that he didn't want to give the shtar, and he never actually handed over the shtar, and that's a reisa that we have on a shtar that has fallen from the hands of the baal shtar. So let's say, for example, the case of Matana, the Makabel Matana is now holding on to the shtar, claiming that he has rights to this Matana. Well, why is he not holding on to the shtar? The fact that it fell from his hands, well, that, you know, that sends alarm bells and sets off a red alarm bell here. So now, all this makes no sense according to Abai, v'chi nimlach aleihem ayhavi. After all, Abai says that the shibud machal, irrelevant to what happens later on, ha'amrit eidah v'chasumav zochen lo. And if eidah v'chasumav zochen lo, then the shibud is chal from the time of the chasimus eidim, even if he changes his mind, the mischayev, but he was mishabin himself to whatever it says in the shtar. And the Gemara answers, hani mili heicha dekamatu liyodeh. What's critical here is that the mischayev actually hands over the shtar to the baal shtar who's going to collect based on this shtar. And we're not actually sure if that happened. Maybe that never happened. The shtar was never actually handed over to the person to whom he was mischayev, for whom the shtar was written. In other words, when do we say Eidah b'chasum v'zochin lo? That's only if there was a mesiras hashtar. So take, for example, the case of a halva. The lova commissioned the Eidah to write the shtar today. The date on the shtar is today's date. That's recorded in the shtar. And tomorrow, or whenever, the lova decides to give the shtar over to the malvil, l'mafreya, the shibud is chal from the time of the shibud. But that's, again, all conditioned on the fact that ultimately the lova passed on, transmitted the shtar over to the malveh, or in the case of the nosein matana, the nosein gave the shtar over to the makabel matana. And the shtar daitiki was given over to the various recipients of the tzavos hashchimira. Or in the case of the shovar was actually given from the malveh over to the loveh. But we don't know that shtar was given over. We find the shtar in the street. Hecha, the Gemara says, Hecha de lo mati liyade, if the shtar was never handed over from the Mishkayev to the Balash shtar, lo amrinon, we're not going to say Eidah b'chasum of Zochel on the Shibud Eschal from the Chasimus Eidim. There's got to be a Mesiras Hashtar. The Mesiras Hashtar clinches the Das HaMishkayev that's recorded in the testimony of the shtar. So again, the Gemara originally understood that the Chasimus Eidim makes it into like a shtar akna. And Lamaskana, what the Gemara is saying, is no, that in a shtar akna, the kinyan is chal from the get-go. But Abaye's halacha of Eidah b'chasum v'zochin lo is only chal, and the shibudim are only chal, the nesina is only, the maton is only chal, when the mischayev actually gives over the shtar, hands over the shtar to Misha Nichtav Avuro. And that's the shakla v'tarya, this sugya. Now, again, just to review what we know about our Mishnah, according to Rav Asi, our Mishnah is discussing a case of shtari delav aknaisa, so there was no separate hakna on the shibudim, and we have to be worried, according to Rav Asi, that maybe the lekuchos would be cheated here for the shtar sheish b'chrais, despite the lovas hodah that he didn't pay back the chov, because the malva really, in truth, does not have rights to collect from these lekuchos in the interim period, the 6-month period from the Zman HaKosev Bishtar in Nisan and the actual Matmos, which was 6 months later. But according to Abaye, who says Eidah b'chasum v'zochin lo, l'chora there should be no problem in returning the shtar to the malve. The lover, after all, admits that he didn't pay up the shtar. He didn't pay up the chov. And what are you afraid of, that maybe the shtar was written by the lover and the halva didn't take place for 6 months later and you're going to be govim l'kucha shlo kedin? That's not a problem, because Eidah v'chasum of zochin lo, and the shibud is really chal from ksiva, from the date written in the shtar, that's Nisan. And the Gemara answers that we're worried, according to Abaye, if we return the shtar to the malva, about kinunya. When there's tefisas balashtar, we're not worried about any kinunya. But as we said earlier, when there's no tefisas balashtar, we could raise all sorts of chashoshos and all sorts of suspicions on the shtar, on the kash of the shtar. We might be worried about a scenario in which the lover paid back the malva, decided to let the malva keep the shtar, collect from lekuchos, and they'll split the booty. Again, that's all in a case of a shtar sheish bo achrayus. Rav Meir holds if a shtar has no achrayus, then you can return it to the malva because mimonavshach. There's no gvir from the lekuchos because there's no achrayus in the shtar. There's no shibud in the shtar. There's no gvir. There's no problem being gover for the lover because the lover is moder. The chachamim extend this chash to a shtar shelo nichtov bo achrayus, because they hold achrayus tov sofer, and that's going to be the view here of both Rav Asi and Abaye in interpreting the Chachomim of our Mishnah. So now the Gemara asks about Shmuel. Shmuel, later on, says that if you find the Shtar HaKnah in the marketplace, you can return the Shtar to the Malva, and Lo Chayshina Lepiran. We're not afraid, as the Lova claims, that he actually paid back this Chov. And therefore, you can return the Shtar to the Malva, despite the fact that the Lova is denying and saying that he paid back the Chov. He's denying the Chov. And the reason for this is because of Lo Chayshina Lepiran, is because a Lova would never allow the Malva to retain possession over the Shtar Milva after he pays back the Chov. He'll be makbid to make sure that the Shtar gets ripped to shreds. Ula Kenunya. And Shmuel is not afraid from this very reason for Kenunya, since Bishas Piron, the Lova, sees to it that the Shtar is ripped up to shreds. There's no possibility of Kenunya. It's Michael and Maymar. How is Shmuel going to interpret our Mishnah? Why is there a problem in returning a Shtar Chov, even if it has a Chrayus, to the Malva? Because what are you afraid of? If you're afraid of Piron, well, we're not afraid of Piron. That's Ein Choshen LePiron. And if that be the case, then the Halva is valid, and the rights of the Malva to collect from this Achrayis, this Shtar Sheish Bo Achrayis, is well founded. So why does the Mishnah insist that if it's a Shtar Sheish Bo Achrayis, we don't return the Shtar to the Malva? The Ramban questions the Gemara's premise here that Lo Choshishin LeKenunya. We know that Shmuel holds Ein Choshishin LePiron, but even if Ein Choshishin LePiron, perhaps the Lova, instead of being Poreh the Chov, he said to the Malva, you know what? Hold on to the Shtar, and let's make a Kenunya with the Karkos of the Lekuchos. And the Ramban answers that if they would have done a Kenunya, then the Lova would not be Poreh the Chov at all. Or perhaps he would be Poreh with the condition, Almanashlo Yimchol Hashibut. Now, this is a bit complicated. I'm going to, at this point, just give you the Mar Mokom. You'll see it here in the Chidush Ramban, Yud Gimel Amid Alti Ramaskel V'yesh. And we're going to go on in the sugya. The Gemara says, Ha Nicha Isovrele Kirav Asi. We can explain our Mishnah. If Shmuel holds like Rav Asi, that Kosvin Shtar Lelo Vafal Pisha Ein Malva Imo is Bishtore Hakna. That the only time that the Edim have the green light to write a Shtar on behalf of the Lova, even if the Malva is not there for the Matan Mos, that's only in Shtar Hakna. But in Stam Shtar Halva, where the Shibud is not Chal B'Shas K'siva, is Muki Masnisen. B'Shtari D'Lav Hakna, and the Shibud is not Chal until the actual Matan Mos, the Zman Alva, and therefore we cannot return the Shtar to the Malva because we're afraid that the Malva will be Gove Shalo Kedin. And let's just review the logic. If it's a Shtar Hakna, where the Lova did a separate Maisa Kinyan in order to generate the Shibudin, then who cares if the Matan Mos is 6 months later? That's not a problem. And therefore, Kosvin Shtar Lelova Bishen Malva Ima. But if it's a Shtar de Lav Hakna, and the Lova didn't do a separate Maisa Kinyan to be Meshabed his Karkos, then the Shibud is Chal as a result of the Matan Mos. And the Matan Mos perhaps took place 6 months later. And again, it's only because of Nefila that we're choshesh that the Edom went ahead and signed the Shtar that was dated today without seeing the Malva's eyes, without seeing the Matan Mos. But therefore, in the case of Shtari Delav Haknon, you found such a Shtar, you have to worry about Hefseid Halakuchos, and that's what we discussed at great length according to Rav Asi, And there's no reason Shmuel can't go down that line. But Ella is Sover Kabaye, Diomar Edev Chesum Vzochilo, Michael and Meymar. We say that according to Abaye, the only way of justifying the chshash and ambition of returning a shtar to the malva if there's achrayis in the shtar is because of chayshin lekinunya, which means that the lova went ahead and he was porea the chov, but yet he's allowing the malva to use this shtar to collect from the lekucho shalo kedin. The whole thing is a cheat, is gzela. And Shmuel denies this thing because Shmuel holds that we're not choshesh that there was a piron, and that the hodas halova when he says he didn't pay would be for the sake of kinunya, and therefore mimonav shach. There doesn't seem to be any chashash to say that we're worried that he's kosav lilvos bil nisan velo lovad tishrei. Abai solves that problem because Eidav Chesuma of Zochelon, the Shiva of the Karkas Chal from the time of the Ksivas Hashtar and the Ksivas Hashtar on that date in Nisan. Ella, what are you going to be afraid of? Maybe the Lova paid up the Chov and he made a Kinunya to cheat the Lekuchos and then split the booty with the Malva. No, Shmuel denies that. And the answer is Shmuel Muki Lamas Nisin Kisha Ein Chayav Mode. Shmuel radically departs from the interpretations that we had until now, Ravasi and Abaye, that the Lova was Mode, that he owes the Chov, and he was not Pore the Chov. No. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about a scenario in which the Lova denies that he owes the Chov. What's he claiming? He's claiming that the Shtar is a Shtar Mezuyav, that the whole story is a fabrication. There was never a Halva to begin with. In this case, we're not sure if this Chov is Chai V'Kayim, if it ever emerged, if it ever came into existence. We can't return the Shtar to the Malva and allow him to collect Shalo Kedin. Of course, at this point, we have to ask ourselves the following question. How could the Lova claim Mezuyav if the Shtar is Mekuya? Or alternatively, why not, even if the Shtar is Ainu Mekuya, return the Shtar to the Malv and let him go ahead and find the Eidim to verify their signatures being Mekayim the Shtar? Why wouldn't that solve all our problems? And that would contradict the claim of the Lova that the whole thing is Mezuyav, and there never was Alva to begin with. And the answer to that question is that since there's a reus on the shtar as a result of Nefila, therefore, this Nefila indicates that there's a psul in the shtar. If the shtar was kosher, the Malva would have been very careful to watch it, as Rashi points out, Bedira Maskel Shmuel. And now, even after the Kiyum HaShtar, we're going to have to worry about the possibility of Ziyuf. And all the Rishonim jump on this Rashi, because if the Malva is able to be Mekayim the Shtar, how could we be concerned about Mezuyav? I mean, after all, the Eidim are testifying that this is their signature. So why can't we return the Shtar to the Malva? Let him be Mekayim the Shtar. The Shtar is not Mezuyav. He could collect Kedin, and the Lova. And the Lova's claim that this Mezuyav is completely undermined. So Tosus here on the top of Yud Gimel Amid Beis, Dibur Maskel Ha, Haka Omar, he says that the situation that we're dealing with here, the case, the scenario is such that somebody finds the Shtar. The Lova is claiming that there is a Ziyuf in the Shtar while the Shtar is in the hands of the finder. And we're not going to give it back to the Malva, because at this point, since the shtar is Eina Mekuyam, and the Lova is claiming Mezuyav, the shtar is put into a great question mark. You know, in Shmuel's frame of reference, let's say the shtar was in the hands of the Malva, and the Lova was not there to claim Mezuyav. We gave the shtar back to the Malva, and that was okay. If the shtar could be, if the Malva could successfully be Mekayim the shtar, then he could collect from it. And therefore, we rightfully gave it back to the Malva. But in a case where before the shtar was returned to the Malva, the Lova already claims Mezuyav, and it's a shtar Shein Mekuyam, we have to consider the possibility that the Lova is telling the truth, and there was never Alva. We can't give it to the Malva. Again, there's a lot of lumdus here that has to be analyzed, because who cares if the lova is tiny mezuyov, and even if you want to say that don't return the shtar to the malva, why doesn't Bezdin subpoena to Edom, the Edom that were assigned in the shtar, or open it up to other Edom to be mekayim the shtar, and therefore undermine the claim of the lova that it's mezuyov? That's not clear. In any event, the Gemara asks the following question. Ihachi, if according to Shmuel, the case of the Mishnah is where the lov is denying the chov, ki ein b'machrais nechosim amai yachzir, who cares about lekuchos? Leave that out. Why are you telling me that if there's no achrayus here and the lekuchos are off the hook, you can return the shtar to the malveh, nehidelo govi mi mishabdei al mi b'nei chori migvei govi? If Shmuel, in this situation, where the lova is denying the chov, is worried about the possibility that this shtar is not a valid shtar, and it's a ziruf, then how can you return the shtar to the malva in the case of Ein Behem Achrayus? And for the Gemara, Shmuel, L'ta'amei, the Amar Shmuel, Omer HaYerabi Meir, Shtar Chov, She'ein Bo Achrayus, Nechosim, Ein Gove, Lo Mi Meshabdi, V'lo Mi B'nei Chori. This is going to be a sugya later on. And Shmuel's of the opinion that according to Rabbi Meir, if a shtar chov has no achrayus, then the shtar cannot be used even for b'nei chori. The shtar is possible, even to collect from the lova. Why? Because a shtar shlo nichtav bo achrayus is not a shtar. It's like a milve bal peh. And a milve bal peh, without Edim, is Eina Gova Boa Malova Toin Shein Chayev. In other words, you need, in a case of a Milv Bal Peh, either the Hodah of the Lova that he's Chayev, or Edim to testify that somehow they know that the Lova did not pay back the Chov, like Lozoza Mitachas Yodena. We know he never paid it back. Or we heard him make a Hodah that he didn't pay it back. In any event, since Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a shtar without a chrayus is a basically case of a milv bal peh, then Shmuel is going to say in the case of Eibach Chrayus there's no issue in returning the shtar to the malva, because the malva in any event cannot collect from the lova. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, what's the point of returning the shtar to the malva if he can't use it to collect from the lova? It's an exercise in futility. And the Gemara's answer to this question is also a bit curious. Omar Rav Nosson Bar Oshia, Lotzer Al Pitz Lichusa Shal Malva. The Malva wants the shtar. And why is it? Because if he in fact lost the shtar, again, I don't know how we know that, that's what the Gemara's going to have to take up, then the shtar itself, as a Cheftza Shal Niyar, is worth something. It's worth a pruta. And I was thinking it's worth a pruta because it's vellum, and you could write another shtar on it. The Gemara says, lots al pitz lichuso. So now the Gemara asks, why give it to the malva if he's not able to collect from this chov? Maybe the lova dropped the shtar. Unahadji lulova lots al pitz lichuso shalova. And the answer is, lova hu diomar, again, it's the lova tainid mezuyov, if you remember. Now we're turning to Yud Gimel and Beis. Shaloi Yudvar Meola. And if he's claiming mezuyov, then he's being moda that the shtar itself is not his. It was the malva who was mezayif, the shtar. So let's just give a quick summary, an overview of what we have until this point. According to Ravasi and Abaye, the Mishnah is talking about a case in which the lova admits that he owes this chov. And there are two interpretations of Rabbi Meir, who says that if the shtar is a chrayus, we don't give it back, we don't return the shtar. The finder does not return the shtar and give it over to the hands of the malva. Rav Asi holds that we're afraid that perhaps the shtar is a shtar muktam and will be gov from lekucha shelo kedin. Abai rejects that chashash because he holds eidav achsum zochlo, but the chashash is mishum kinunya. Both Abaye and Rav Asi agree that if there's no achrayus in the shtar, and therefore the shtar cannot be gover from lekuchas according to Rav Meir, we can return the shtar to the malvin, he can collect from the lova, because the lova himself is moda in the chov. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about the case where the lova denies the chov. He says, la adam, he says, it was a mezuzah, the shol shtar is a mezuzah, it's all a bluff, a big bluff. We cannot return the shtar to the malva when it has achrayus. If it has no achrayus, then Rabbi Meir's other opinion, you can't collect from the shtar at all, so let's return it to the malva as a piece of paper. If, on the other hand, there is achrayus in the shtar, then, according to Shmuel, we cannot return the shtar to the malva, because then the malva will be going from lekuchas on a shtar that's very questionable. The authenticity of the shtar is coming under severe question, of the barrage of arrows. The lova is denying that there ever was a chov. The shtar is mezuyav. Again, you could always claim, well, should we worry about every shtar that's mezuyav here? There was an afila, and that raises eyebrows here. And the whole discussion that we had earlier about whether or not the malva can go ahead and claim, well, give me the opportunity and the possibility to be Mekayim the Shtar. Now we get to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar has a different take on the machlokes in our Mishnah. The machlokes, says Rabbi Elazar, now Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, in the case of a shtar, she'ein bo achrayis nechosim, are you allowed to return it to the malva? Now, according to Rabbi Meir, there's nothing to lose if the lova is moda by returning the shtar to the malva. And according to Rabbi Meir, in Shmuel's favorite reference, nothing to lose by returning the shtar to the malva, because if there's no achrayis, the shtar is not worth anything. But then we have to ask the question about the chachamim. In the case of a shtar shein bo achrayus, why are they nervous? Why are they inhibited about returning the shtar to the malva? Rabbi Loza says, the machlokes be she'ein chayav mode. Here, Rabbi Elazar is on the turf of Shmuel. We're talking about a case where the lova denies the halva, claims that the shtar is mezuyav, and the Rabbi Meir savar shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechosim ein gove lo mimeshabdei velo mibnei chori. There's no inhibition, there's no hesitation in returning the shtar to the malva, because in any event, according to Rabbi Meir Shita, as we saw in Shmuel earlier, the malva cannot use this shtar to collect from the lova. For Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan disagree with the Chachamim, is Migva Gavi, meaning that if we return this shtar to the malva, he will collect with this shtar. And the reason for that is, even though there's no achrayus in the shtar, which means that the shtar cannot generate shibudim and collection for the lekuchas, nevertheless it's still a valid shtar to contradict a lova's claim and allow the malva to collect the bnei chori from the lova. And in the case of Nefilas HaShtar, we should be choshesh, maybe the shtar is mezuyav as the lova claims. And therefore the Rabbanan say, obviously, you cannot return the shtar to the malva and facilitate his ability to collect from the lova, who's claiming that the shtar is mezuyav, because as long as the shtar is not in the hands of the malva and there's no tfisus bala shtar, we have to be choshesh for ziyuv. Avol kshechayev mode, if the lova admits that he owes the chov, divrei hakol yachzir, according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no problem in returning the shtar to the malva, because the lova admits that he owes the chov. But wait a minute, what about What about the possibility of kinunya? Correct? And again, we're talking about a shtar that lends itself to collect from shibudim. Is the answer is lo chayshina lepirona lekinunya. We're not choshish that maybe the lova went ahead and he paid back the chov and he let the shtar remain in the hands of the malva in order to allow the malva to collect from the lekuchos those karkos and then they'll split the goods. But rather, we want to suggest, according to the chachamim, that we believe the lova, and when he claims he paid back the chov, he did pay back the chov. When the lova admits, kshechayev moda, that he owes the chov, we can return the shtar to the malva and allow the malva to collect this chov. Again, it's one thing to believe the lova that he didn't pay back the chov, but it's another thing to return the shtar to the malva and allow him to collect from the lekuchos. What about the possibility that this is shtar muktam? And the answer to that is that we're talking about shtar hakna, shtar hakna, where the Edom saw a separate maisa kinyan on that original date in which he, the lova, was makne shibudim to the malva from that earlier date. So even if the Edom did not see the matmos, but they did see this separate kinyan, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, machlokes kishachayev moda. So let's go over Rabbi Yochanan again. Machlokes kishachayev moda. The Rabbi Meir Sovar shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechosim mimeshabdi hu delo gavi aval mibnei chori migva gavi. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with both Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar about the shita of Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir agrees that if there's no achrayis in the shtar, despite the fact that the shtar cannot be used to collect from the lekuchos, because there's no shibudim in the shtar as far as karka is concerned, but nevertheless, the shtar is still valid to collect from bnei chori. And therefore, since the shtar doesn't have a shibud nechosim in it, we can return the shtar to the malva, according to Rabbi Meir, because there's no possibility of hefse to the lekuchos, there's no shibudim in the shtar. And the malva, insofar as his collectability, his rights to collect from the lova, that's also okay, because again, we're talking about a case where the lova is moda, that he was not porea the chov, and there's no chashash of kinunya here, because the lekuchos are off the hook, insofar as it's a shtar shein bo achrayus. So why did the Rabbanan feel inhibited and prohibit the finder from returning the shtar, in this case, to the malve? After all, there's no achrayis in the shtar. The lekuchas are off the hook, and the lov is moda that he owes the chov. Rabbanan Savri, mimeshabdi nami govi, even though the shtar has no achrayis written in it, nevertheless, we apply the principle, which the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on next daf, of achrayis tov sofer. And the halva was given with the understanding that there would be a shibud nechosim. That's what the malva wants. He needs some sort of security to back up the chov in event that the lova will default on repayment of the chov. And he gets that through shibudim. So even though the sofer left out, he omitted shibudim in the shtar, nevertheless the shibudim are there. And therefore what happens is that even if both the malva and the lova are moda, they both admit as to the existence of the chov is chai v'kayim, but nevertheless we cannot return the shtar to the malva because perhaps the chov was paid up. The lova is only admitting that he owes the chov, he didn't pay up because of kinunya, and this is the kinunya, as we discussed earlier, between the lova and the malva, in order to collect the karkos and split the goods. Aval kishe'ein chayav mode. If, on the other hand, the lova claims he never borrowed the money, or alternatively, he claims that he borrowed the money but he paid up the chov, is divrei hakol. In this case, everybody agrees, whether it's Rav Meir or the Chachamim, lo yachzid the chayshina lepiron. we're worried about the fact that perhaps if the Lov is telling the truth, he was Porea the Chov, and giving the Malva this shtar gives him ammunition to collect the Chov that was already Parua. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is got to be limited to a case where the chayev is moda, where the lova is moda the oz the chov, and the only issue is whether the lakuchas are on the firing line here, whether we hold that the absence of achrais in the shtar is what it is. That's Rabbi Meir, or it's not what it is, and achrais tov so fair. But that's only because the lova was moda that he's chayev, and therefore there is no problem. If as Rabbi Meir has it, there's no achrais in the shtar, no problem with lakuchos, there's equally no problem of collecting from the lova because the lova is moda. However, says Rabbi Yochanan, in the case where the lova is not moda, he's claiming that he paid back the chov, then even according to Rabbi Meir, we cannot return the shtar to the malva. There's no achrayus. I'm sorry. Let's just go over the sheet of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Yochanan. A quick review. Rabbi Meir holds that in the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus and the lekuchas are off the hook, we can return the shtar to the malva, but that's only because the lova is moda that he's chayim. But in a case where the lova denies it, that he says parati, we cannot possibly, even according to Rabbi Meir, return the shtar to the malva, because chayshin lepiron, perhaps the lova paid back the chov. Not like we saw in Shmuel, that if the lova would have paid back the chov, he definitely would have taken back the shtar, ripped it into shreds. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Chachamim Shita is that even in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrais, we cannot return the shtar to the malve, because a shtar she'ein bo achrais is a shtar she'yesh bo achrais, and therefore we'll allow for the malve to collect from the lekuchos shelo kedin, even though the lova is moda that he's chayev, but we're worried about kinunya. So therefore the Rabbanan have this blanket absolute law that you cannot return the shtar to the malva, even though the lova is moda that he's chayev, and that makes no difference whether or not the shtar has a achrayus written in it or doesn't have shtar achrayus into it. And the reason for that is chayshinu l'kinunya. If the lova is claiming parati, then even Rav Meir would agree that you cannot return the shtar to the malva, despite the fact that ein bo achrayus, because you'll be allowing the malva to collect from the lova shelo kedin. And that enters into the whole question about kiyum shtaros. Tanya kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. We're now going to analyze the words of a brisa. We're going to ask a question according to Rabbi Lozer from this brisa, and two objections we're going to raise against Shmuel. The Gemara is going to establish that really there are two kashas against Rabbi Lozer, but they're one. In any event, here are the words of the brisa. Motza shitrei chov v'yesh bev achrayis nechasim. A person finds a shtar milva, and there's a chrais written in the shtar. Afal pisha shneihem modim lo yachzir lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. So in the reish of this brisa, the brisa establishes that if there is a chrais nechos, we have to worry about the lekuchos being cheated out over here, even in a case where both the malv and the lova agree that there's an outstanding loan. Nevertheless, we're afraid that the lova actually paid up the chov, and the malv and the lova are doing this kinunya in order to collect from the lekucha shelo kedin. And all this is based on the fact that the shtar
has a reisa in it. It was found in the streets. Then the Braisa says in the Sefer Ein Bemachrais Nechasim, if there's no possibility of collecting from the Lekuchos in this shtar, is but Bizman Shahalove Mode Yachzir Lamalfa. This is Rabbi Meir's Shita, that if a Achrais was omitted from the shtar, then we assume that that was done deliberately. The Malva gave up or forfeited his rights to demand Shibudim. And in such case, we don't have to worry about the Hefsed Lekuchos. There's no Shibud in the shtar. And the Lov himself is Moda that he did not pay back the Chov. So there's no problem in this case of returning the shtar to the Malva. And if the Malva collects from the Lova, that's a Gviyash Kedin, that's all legal and binding, because the Lova himself is Moda, that he wasn't Porea the Chov. Now, Eina Lova Moda, if the Lova is not confessing, is not admitting that he owes the Chov, and again, there are two possibilities here. Either the Lova claims that he never borrowed the money, or the Lova is claiming that he paid back the Chov. Lo yachzir lo lezeh lo lezeh divrei Rabbi Meir. And this is all based on Shehoy Rabbi Meir Omer Shitrei Chov, if we had that word, Shtari Chov. Sheish ben achrais nechasim gove nechasim meshubadim. V'sheim ben achrais nechasim gove minachasim b'nei chorin. It means that if the achrais was omitted from the shtar, that's deliberate. And therefore, in such a case, which is the sefer of this price, Reb Meir has no problem returning the shtar to the malva because mimanavsha. The lekuchos are off the hook because the shtar has no achrayus in it. And the problem of collecting for the lova is not a problem because the lova himself is moda that he owes the chov. And therefore, Shein ben Machrais Nechasim, Govim Nechasim in Echorin. And as we said before, since the Lova is Moda, there's no Sakana here, there's no danger in returning, no possible damage done if we return the Shtar to the Malva. And that's why in the Braisa he makes the distinction between a shtar sheyesh b'machrayis and a shtar sheyim b'machrayis. You can return a shtar sheyim b'machrayis, you cannot return a shtar sheyesh b'machrayis. Chachamim omrim, echad zeh v'echad zeh, goveh minichosim mishubadim. Even if the achrayis was omitted from the shtar, nevertheless the shtar has achrayis, has shibudim. And the malva, therefore, through the shtar milva, can collect from the lekuchos. And that's called Achrayus Tos Sofer, which we'll see on Daf Yudalit Emirat Hashem. And therefore it's Yadua. Everybody understands, and the Lekuchos certainly understand, that any Alva with a Shtar is done Al Das, that there would be a Shibud, and if they buy these Karkos, they understand very well that there's a certain great risk factor here by buying the Karkos from the Lova. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, that even a shtar shein bo achrayus has the same identical status and din as a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus. Therefore, we go back to the beginning of the Braisa, we say you cannot return the shtar, even in the case of shnei modim, because we're afraid of kinunya. Now, it's clear from this Braisa in summary that Rabbi Yochanan is correct. And that's what we said, Tanya Kavos to Rabbi Yochanan. Because if you recall, Rabbi Yochanan interpreted the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim and our Mishnah in a scenario in which the lova was moda to his chov. And the question is, if there's no problem with the lova, is there a problem of exposing the lekuchos to an illegal collection through kinunya? And the answer is that Rabbi Meir says there's no problem because the shtar is no achrayus and there's no shiva, there's no collectability from lekuchos, and the Chachamim say no. That Achrayis Tos Sofer, and if the Lekuchos are on the firing line, therefore we have to worry about the kinunya that was established between the agreement, the secret agreement that was established between the Lova and the Malva. Now, once this braisa supports the approach of Rabbi Yochanan to the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, it becomes a kasha on both Rabbi Elazar and Shmuel. And that's what the Gemara fleshes out now. Tuvta the Rabbi Elazar b'chada the Omar. First of all, Rabbi Elazar said that according to Rabbi Meir, shtar she'ein bo achrais lo sein agov min achos v'shibad lo min achos v'nei chorin, that a shtar that's lacking achrayus is meaningless. It doesn't have a token of a shtar. The milva, as we said, is a milva balpeh. And furthermore, the Gemara says, uki Omar, Rabbi Elazar had said that bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbanan, lo chayshin in l'kinunya. That was the yisod that was established by Rabbi Elazar. Mainly that if the lov admits that he owes the chov, both Rabbi Meir and Chacham agree that even in a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus nechos, we can return the shtar to the malva, he can collect from the lekuchos. We're not choshesh that maybe the chov was already paid up. The lov is admitting and lying that he didn't pay up because of the kenunya. Rabbi Elazar denies the whole business of kenunya. And yet this braisa is predicated on chayshin lekinunya, because the braisa tells us that when it says Shahay Rabbi Meir Omer Shtari Chov Sheyesh Lamachrais Nechasim Govim Nechasim Shubadim, and in the case of Shtaros Sheyesh Lamachrais, then and only then can you collect from Shubadim Shtar Shein Bo Achrais Nechasim Mimshabdi De Lo Gavi Mibnei Chori Migva Gavi. So that's against Rabbi Elazar, who says that according to Rabbi Meir, a shtar without achrayus is not a shtar at all. And uktani, furthermore, it says in the braisa that bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbanan, chayshin l'kinunya. How do we see in this braisa that everyone agrees, Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, that we chosh v'kinunya? Uktani, the braisa says at the very beginning that matzah shtar echov v'yesh lam achrayus nechasim, that if the lekuchas are on the firing line, because there is achrayus, there is a shibud that is collectible by virtue of this shtar, we cannot return the shtar to neither to the malva to the lova, because we're afraid perhaps the chov was actually paid up and the shtar fell from the hands of the lova. The malv and the lov had made a kinunya, and the lov is now being moded to the chov in order so that the shtar should be given and returned into the hands of the malv, and he'll collect the lekuchas from the karkos, the lekuchas shalo kedin. Again, even though he, the lov, had already paid up the chov, he's going to claim that he still owes the chov in order to facilitate this kinunya. Alma chayshin lekinunya. So we see that the braisa contradicts Rabbi Elazar in two different ways. Number one, in terms of Rabbi Meir's opinion about a shtar shein bo achrayus, whereas Rabbi Elazar said the shtar is meaningless. That's Rabbi Meir's shita. This braisa establishes that according to Rabbi Meir, a shtar shein bo achrayus is still collectible from Bnei Chori, and it's a meaningful shtar vis-a-vis the lova. And that's why Rabbi Meir said that if the lova is denying the chov, either he claims he never borrowed or he claims he paid it back, we cannot give the shtar back to the malva and allow him to collect from the lova, shalo kedin. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, there would be no problem returning the shtar to the malva, according to Rabbi Meir, because it's worth lotzer al pi slichuso. And furthermore, as we saw, Rabbi Elazar says that there's no chashash kinunya. And Kishachayev Moda, Rabbi Elazar said, Diri Akol Yachse, we can return the shtar. Lo chayshin lepiron lekinunya. But here, in this braisa, it's crystal clear that the braisa says, Af pishishneim on lo yachse lo lezel, said, we are choshish lekinunya. So the Gemara just wants to know, why did you tell me that this braisa is one kasha, one objection to Rabbi Elazar, one stira, Vahani Tartehu? We have two kashas from the braisa. Number one, as far as understanding Rabbi Meir's shita about a shtar shein bo achrayus, whether it's worth it to collect and force the lover to pay up, as far as Bnei Chori is concerned. Number two, to understand whether Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in a shtar that's Roy Ligvos Milakucho, should we worry about Kinunya? In a case where both the Malv and the Lova Moda, that the Chov is outstanding and it's still valid. So why do you call that two kashes? Why do you call it one kash when it's really two kashes? That much mathematics we understand. So the Gemara answers, Chadu, in truth, there, this is really one kasha. Why? Dechad tamhu. Both these dinim that Rabbi Lazar established, which are contradicted by the Braisa, was said because of one reason. There's one tam. And that's why we call it one kasha. Because both these dinim of Rabbi Lazar were formulated from one source, so to speak, from one tam. And why is that? To be shum dekam Rabbi Lazar. Machlokes be she'ein chayav modeh. Rabbi Lazar started with the premise that the entire machlok stream of Ben Chacham about returning the shtar, not returning the shtar, was only in the case where the lova was denying the chov. For example, he claims that the shtar was mezuyaf, and that, according to Rabbi Lazar, is the yesod of the machlokas tanoim. Can we return the shtar to the malva if the shtar has no achrayus? And now we have to ask why, according to Rabbi Meir, do we allow returning the shtar shem b'achrayus to the malve? After all, nehi, even though you've solved the problem of hefseid alakuchus, but you still have the problem of hefseid halove, because now the shtar is a weapon in the hands of the malve to collect from the lova, and the lova is claiming it's mezuyah. And the answer is because Rabbi Lazar says, according to Rabbi Meir, this shtar is worthless. Once there's no achrayus, it's only worth lotzer al pi tzlichuso, against the braisa that says that Rabbi Meir would hold that you can collect with this shtar from Bnei Chori. And since it says machlokes b'she'ein chayev modeh, so the exact words, that's the precise quote of Rabbi Lazar, which means that the machlokas, and when did Rabbi Meir say that we can return the shtar to the mal? For that was in a case of ein halove mode. It means he's tining that the shtar is mezuyof. Therefore, Rabbi Loz had to finish up his sentence and say avok shechayev mode divrei akol yachzir. Even Rabbi Meir would agree that, I'm sorry, even the Chachomer would agree, since the Lov admits to the Chov, we can return the Shtar to the Baal, to the Malva. And we're not afraid of Kinunya, when the Malva and the Lova both admit and agree that the Shtar is testifying to a valid Chov, an outstanding Chov. And that's also against the Braisa that says that we are Choshed Lekinunya. So basically, everything comes from one root. Both questions come from one premise. And that is that according to Rabbi Lazar, the Machlokes is when Ein Chayev Moda, and Ein Chayev Moda means that according to Rabbi Meir, you can return the Shtar because the Shtar is worthless. It's only Lotz El Pitzli Chusa. But rather, Machlokes is Kshachayev Moda. I'm sorry, but rather in the case of Kshechayev Mod, there is no machlokas. The machlokas only is when the chayev is, the machlokas is only in a case where ein chayev mod. But in the case of chayev mod, everybody says you can return the shtar because there's no chashash kenunya. Now the Gemara goes on to say, Tiyufsu the Shmuel Batati, what are the two questions in this price? And apparently they're two independent questions. From the two independent contradictions, two points or principles that contradict Shmuel from this price. So Chada, one of them that we could ask on Shmuel's kit, Rabbi Elazar, is the same kash we asked on Rabbi Elazar, because Shmuel says, Da Shmuel Muki Masnisen, the Machlok Shim Rabbi Meir Chachamim in our Mishnah, about whether or not you're allowed to return the Shtar to the Malva, is Be She'ein Chayav Moda. Just like we saw in Rabbi Lazar, Kishe Ein Chayav Moda. That means the lova himself is denying the chov. And Shmuel here accepts the interpretation of Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Meir, that since the shtar is no achrayus, therefore it's meaningless, and it's only worth lotzer al pitzlichuso. But chada, here's another question that we can ask on Shmuel, and this is an independent question. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, this is sugya later on, motza shtar hakna b'shuk yachzir lebailim lo chayshinan v'lo chayshin lepiron. Shmuel says that you find a shtar haknon in the shuk, you can return it to the bailim, and we're not choshes lepiron. In other words, Shmuel is of the opinion that certainly the lov, once he pays back the chov, he ascertains with great and absolute certainty that the malva rips up the shtar. He doesn't want to be subject to a second gvia on the same shtar, and we can return the shtar to the malva in such a case. And now we have to ask a kasha tuvta from the brisa. Why minikatani hachi? The brisa says that if the shtar has shibudim in it, then bein l'rab meir bein l'chacham afal pisha shneim modim lo yachzir lo lezev lo lezal mechayshinan lepiron v'kol shkein hacha d'lo moda lova d'chayshin lepiron. What does the Gemara mean that in the din of Shmuel it's lo moda lova? What we mean to say is there's no odof in the lova that he owes the chov because he's not even lefaneinu. We found the shtar aknah in the shuk, and we are now advocating that the finder return the shtar to the malva. We have no odof from the lova. And what's the kolshkein here? Certainly here we should be exposed to the chayshin lepiron. We should be afraid that the lova in fact paid back the chov, because again there's no odof in the lova's part that he didn't pay back the chov, like in the classical case of chayshin lepiron. But maybe the lov in fact was Porei the Chov. He dropped the shtar, and now by returning the shtar to the malva, we're going to allow the malva to collect a second time with the same shtar, shalo kedin. And obviously, therefore, that Shmuel is not afraid of such a thing. He's not chosh lepiron. He's not chosh lekinunya. And our brisa contradicts Shmuel, so there's a double contradiction, a double kasha on Shmuel from the brisa. Number one, there's a kasha from the fact that the brisa holds, as we said in Rabbi Elazar, in contradicting Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Meir holds in the shtar Shein Bo Achrayus, he could still collect from Bnei Chori. The shtar is a valid shtar. Number two, the fact that Shmuel holds that Motzah Shtari Hakno B'Shuk Yachzir L'Bailim, and we're not Choshesh L'Piron, and yet our Brisa clearly says that we are Choshesh L'Piron, and therefore Afal Pi Sheshneim Modim is Lo Yachzir Lo Lazeh V'Lo Lazeh, and we are Choshesh L'Piron. Stop here.